like to sing that God is love. Oh, till Turin's remote is bound, God is love. In Christ we have redemption found, God is love. His blood has washed our sins away, His Spirit turned our hearts today, and now we can rejoice to say that God is love.
Let's mark our books at number 696. 696 will be the song of invitation after Brother Robert's lesson. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 312. 312. And Travis, would you lead us in prayer? Thank you.
Brightly beams our Father's mercy from His lighthouse evermore. But to us He gives the keeping of the lights of
to worship you in spirit and in truth. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this congregation that meets here. Father, we pray that we continue to grow in spirit. Father, we pray that we grow in numbers.
To look at life and the ways that we come to earth and the way that we live from day to day was our lesson study this morning regarding family. And tonight, we will take a look at Jesus and his parents and Timothy and his parents and all the circumstances about life and growing as he had it. When we talk about Jesus, we're talking about the Son of God. And in Luke chapter 2, reference is made to Jesus and his time in which with his parents he went to be, according to the rules of the law of God. And as a result of the meeting of Simeon, Simeon was so delighted to know that the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that this is the Christ. This is the Anointed One. Who would lighten, he says in verse 32 of Luke chapter 2, verse 32, the Gentiles and give glory to the people of Israel. Indeed, Jesus was that person. And I want to note the particulars about this. At this particular age and time and circumstance, he went with his parents to be identified of God and recognized by Simeon, a great servant of God. Anna also was one who came to recognize this child and recognize this way to be the Savior. This is the Christ, the Anointed One. Indeed, they set up the idea in front of him that he was the one. When we talk about Jesus, we're talking about his going with them. And it is noted here in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 39, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Of course, born in Bethlehem, they did not stay there very long and went to Nazareth. His growing up years would be in Nazareth, and the next time that we see him along the way here, it is said of his life that this is what happened to him as he was growing up as a young man in Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. The grace of God was upon him. And in Luke 2, verse 41, it is said, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew it not. And they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsmen and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And of course, this is when Mary asked of him, did you not realize we were seeking you with sorrow? They were fearing the worst in regard to coming out to find Jesus at this time in life. 12 years of age, but he was of capabilities at this point in time. And Jesus replied to her the statement of all the ages, how it must be that you sought me. Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business? Luke 2 at 49. As he continued with them in labor, it is said that verse 51 of Luke 2, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus' work and labor was at home. And he was at home in Nazareth. and went home with his parents. It's a fitting thing to note that in family, we need to have parents there. We need to have parents that are part of a work and a life. We know that the carpenter work that he was involved with, his father, and the kind of work that he was doing was work to which he was subject to the teaching that was given. Though he knew the things of the law and had the things of the law that fascinated and astonished the doctors of the law as he was 12, I'm quite certain that along the way, when it says this about his being subject to them, that it was the case that he was, as a child, learning the things he should do and could do in regard to his carpenter work. It is noted in this regard that Jesus was working with his parents, that as they went to worship, he went with them. It wasn't a matter of being left at the door and we'll come and pick you up later. It wasn't a matter of their being without him at all and never interested in where he was. But they were concerned with sorrow. They came and sought him. They were fearful of the worst. Although he had gone with a company of people to Jerusalem, and companies was the way in which they would travel in that day and time, there were robbers about their ways, and there were people who would take advantage of us, a couple along the way with a child. And the fact that they would have no more than that in their company would be the standard way of travel, we're told by the historians of that day and time. It would be the case that the man who went down to Jericho fell among thieves. He was by himself. He found himself in the midst of those who all but took his life and robbed him and left him there half dead. Along the way there came those who supposedly were going to be of help to him. But along the way with the Levite and with the priest, they walked by on the other side after looking at him and observing his situation, his plight, passed by on the other side. But the Samaritan was a good Samaritan who looked at him and felt like his need was there. And were it not for good grace of God and his ways, he would be the same position. And so he reached out and helped him not only there, but in the home, or in the city, as he took him there to the village. It is the case that we find Jesus going with parents and with company and being a part of their daily walk of life as he listened to the things that they had to say. How can we make sure that our children listen to the things that we have to say? I believe it's secretively set in some of these things right here. First off, they went with him. He was a part of life with them, and they were a part of activities with him. And being guided by them and helped by them along the way is no doubt the concept that they were with him. And being with them rather than sent by somebody else along the way departing from them is a certain good example. It is said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and 12 to be an example of the believers. To others that you meet and the others that come into contact with you, let yourself be an example to them, so that they'll follow this way that's righteous and good in regard to the way that they live. So it is that your life and mine should be people who are involved with the ways of life. But we also find that there's worship being involved. And as I mentioned this morning in the lesson, it wasn't just a matter of their taking them to the assembly, taking them to the church, but it was a matter of we go to worship with the church there at that place. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 14, we read in regard to detail about their worship and how that they were to speak in words easily understood, sing in words easily understood, pray in words easily understood, and do it with the spirit and the understanding also. Their worship was to be that way. And as a result of their not doing that, they were to repent of this. They were to change. And we read in 2 Corinthians 7 that they did that. They did repent of that. And they came back to the ways that God would have them to worship and have them to do, just like they did in regard to all the other matters of correction that Paul had addressed there in 1 Corinthians. They were people who were doing the will of the Lord as directed by him. This takes us on into the lifestyle of Timothy. And in 2 Timothy 1, beginning verse 5, We read that when Paul said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that dwelt first, it was the sincere, genuine faith that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded also now in thee. It is the case that as we read these verses, we read of Timothy being reared by parents that had an interest in him, knowing the depth of what they were practicing. There's a place to explain and to live out the Lord's Supper being partaken. That we sing instead of play instruments, and that we sing in melody to the Lord, in unison one with another, encouraging one another as we do so. That we pray in the same way, that we pray with the Spirit and the understanding also, that we pray along with the one who leads us in prayer and are able to say amen at the close of it, O Lord, so let it be. Whatever prayer has been said, let that so be. And add to it my own thoughts about needs and circumstances that I would pray to God about. And be a person who realizes that the Lord does hear and that He is conscious of our words and prayer. Rearing children to be that sort of way, and a way of worship and a way of prayer, is the way that Timothy was reared in his way. It is said there in 2 Timothy 1 and in verse 8 that the Lord Himself gave to us that power. He didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. That is to be a person who is able to carry out our activities in life from day to day in such a way that we're pleasing in the sight of God. That's the way that He wants us to do. He also mentions to us there in that passage of Scripture that there is a difference in rearing a child and in raising a child. The verb rearing carries with the idea that someone has a mind. This has a mind and ability to reason, an ability to say yes or no to the things that are said. Whereas we raise cotton and corn and peas and okra and beans, we raise them. They raise them in the stance of water that's there and fertilizer that's applied, and we raise a crop. We raise a substance for eating and purposes like that, and for clothing ourselves. We raise that, but we rear children. They have a mind. They have ability. And along the way with that ability, there is sometimes a way of discipline that has to be administered. In order to correct a way of practice in life, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us we all have fathers of the flesh and we reverence them. Much more should we reverence God, who's the Father of our spirit, that we may live. In Hebrews 12 and verse 9, he goes on to talk about the chastisements of the Lord in the surrounding verses of Hebrews 5, 12 and verse 9. And he says there, beginning at verse 5 and on down the line, how that type of discipline is a type of discipline that is not a joyful thing to enter at the time, but it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And I was talking about the discipline that children need along the way back a few weeks ago. And I was noting something that I had some to tell me, you know, I didn't realize that. I did not realize that. And how that verse of Scripture tells us there in Hebrews 12, that during that kind of discipline, that kind of guidance, that kind of description that's given there, lift up the feeble hands that hang down and walk with them in the way, is an instruction just as much as the chastisement that does not seem to be joyous but grievous at the time. There is a punishment to be administered for disobedience, followed by lifting up hands and walking with them in the way. Going with them to realize that this is not a hatefulness. This is not a way of causing one's death. This is a way of causing one's life, how to live and how to do. And this is the way that we wish you would do, because this is what right is. And you are not doing what's right, and the chastisement that comes is a result of not doing what's right. But change that as I walk with you and as I hold your hands up. That is a very important part of that kind of chastisement. It is said regarding this, as he continues on there in 2 Timothy 1 and 8 and following, that you're to be people who realize that there is trouble that comes from serving the Lord. There are difficulties that come from those who reject the teachings of God. And there may be hurts and harms that come. That continued thought is over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in reference to Jannes and Jambres, in verses 7 and 8, you read about them in the time of Moses, who rejected Moses and resisted him in that time. And how that matches up with what he says as you go along there in that passage in verse 11, as to the hurts and the difficulties that come in serving God. How that the ways of peace and the ways of joy are not the ways that you're going to be met with. I'm so thankful that my mom and dad, in talking about things that we would face as a preacher of the gospel, before I ever thought of that you will meet up with people who do not wish to do what you point out in the Bible God expects us all to do. And they may get mad at you, and they may be upset at you, and they may be bothersome to you. Little did I know that would be the case sooner than I thought of. But they were faithful in regard to telling me that when you get away from home, you'll be going places that there may not be a congregation where you have to make a living. There may not be a congregation there. And if there's not a congregation there and not within a close driving proximity of where you are, what does the Lord, that was the question asked, what does the Lord expect of you on the Lord's day? It was not what did your mom and dad think of you on the Lord's day. What do we expect you to do? It wasn't what have you learned already that you could see that you used to do on the Lord's day. It was a matter of what the Lord would have you to do on the Lord's day. And of course, when I went on up to Fried Hardeman, that was the first time in all those years where the congregation at Nile met on Sunday night and met on Sunday morning and met on Friday nights for Bible study. It was a milking cow kind of community. And for the Vale Milk Company, we milk cows. Jersey cow. They yielded a lot of milk that day. Anyway, the idea was that they could meet on that time, and my early preaching was done on Friday night. But Henderson had a more city-like ways, and they met on Wednesday night. What were my thoughts in mind when I heard about the meeting of the services there at the Henderson Church on Wednesday night? Oh no, I never ever gone on Wednesday night. I'm not going to go. No, it was what the Lord would have me to do. What's the Lord want me to do when Bible study is ongoing? What's the Lord want me to do when there's a proper way of Bible study being discussed? And that way in which it is being done is the right way. And so it is that I was there, part of that service. And I enjoyed very much. I was up there just 1 week, however, to be there. Because after that 1 week, I had preached out in Milledgeville, Tennessee, the old home of N.B. Hardeman himself. He was born, reared there. And I was out there, and I got the job to preach there at Milledgeville, Tennessee, which was out Highway 100 to Highway 22 and going down from Lexington and Jack's Creek, actually, down to Milledgeville, Tennessee through Enville. And I met up with brethren there. And we actually conducted some lecture programs, at which I had some good friends there at school that accompanied with me. And one of them was James Horton. James, you may remember, came over here and worked with us a couple, 3 years ago in regard to a youth day that we had here. And James is super guy, super friend, and good Bible student, and good preacher. And he worked with Gus Nichols over in Jasper, Alabama. And after he passed away over there, they really missed a deal there in Jasper, Alabama, because he was there and knew every step that Brother Nichols was making and all, and activities like that. He could preach just as well as a young man. But he left there and went over to Texas, preached over there for a time. And they went through preacher after preacher after preacher for a neighborhood of about 20 years before they settled on a man that was teaching the Bible all the time. But they waited that much time. How much changes there can be, as my mom and dad were telling me about various things that would take place in the church among people. And circumstances like that have happened. Along the way, how do we people who have a family? Let's think about this. Let's lead them to the worship of the Lord. Let's be with them in the worship of the Lord. Let's explain the things about what we're doing and why we're doing that. And it's to please the work of the Lord. That's what he wanted to have done. When we sing with the Spirit, when we preach with the Spirit, when we pray with the Spirit and the understanding also. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, examine yourselves. What does it mean to examine my inner man, my inner purpose, my inner person? What does it mean to do that? Explain the things that are spiritual in mind about this. Enjoy a way of life that is missionary. Who knows but what a missionary mind may be created. And the thought about where I go, what I'll do, and how I'll help the cause of God. It may very well be that a young man or a young woman will convert someone with whom they are planning a way of life. And because of that, they'll obey the gospel too and become faithful Christians themselves. And as a result of that, rear their children in that way that is righteous and good and helpful. What we're talking about here, we're talking about a way of life that is described as family. And a way of life in family is a way of life for good and for godliness' sake. And that's the way that God would have us to be and do. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded also in thee, I realize that there are troubles and problems that can come, and how that you can be faithful to the Lord, and the Lord will be with you. And Paul writes there, as you read along there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that the Lord, with his hand, delivered me out of all those dangers, all those troubles. Paul gave the credit to the Lord for being delivered from the troubles and difficulties that he faced in life. Don't you know that that young preacher Timothy was a joy to be there and to hear that and to note that and written down in Holy Scripture in reference to how that you go through this and you ask the Lord to be with you and be with you along the way in hardships and difficulties, and he will be with you during that time. What a blessing it is. Since we know that we read in Romans chapter 8 verses 28 through 32 about we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, those that are called according to his purpose. How will we know that all things work together for good? A faith in him that begins that idea, a faith that what he said he will carry out, he will fulfill. And as we go through life and face those difficulties, as Paul, we can say that the Lord has delivered me out of all those problems and all those evils that were set against me. That's the way in which it happened. What a blessing. As we sing the song of invitation tonight, think about your relationship to the Lord as we stand together and as we sing together tonight.
There's a fountain
let it take both faith to it free.
It's the fountain of love from the source of love, and he gives us all freely drink.
Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? has fled, and whose soul is left, that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there.
Will you come?
Will you come? 'Tis for mountain free.
Will you come?
And open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done.
Heavenly Father, dear, we are thankful to you for that. For the times that we've had, that we could assemble to worship you, to study the things that you would have us to know. Help us in our lives to be strong and peace. We're grateful, Father, for this day. Father, we're thankful for the blessings that you give us in this life. For we realize, Father, that all blessings come from you. We're thankful for the help that we have, and we pray for those, our brothers and sisters in Christ, friends and loved ones who are sick. Father, we ask you to watch over them and comfort them and help them to be healed. For those, Father, that are recovering, we pray that you will bless them in such a way that their health will come back to them, Father, and that once again they will stand whole in their life. Father, we thank you for the country in which we live. We thank you for all the blessings that we enjoy here. Amen. Friends that we have, the bounty that we have. Amen. And we thank you, Father, above all things for your Son, Jesus, who came into the world to die on the cross for us. Believe the word that we have, that we study it, put it in our hearts, and live it out of our lives, Father, that we can have hope. Thank you for giving us a good week last week, and Father, we pray for your guidance and help through this week. We ask you to watch over and care.